Hallelujah. It's good, too. The presence was here this morning. Absolutely lovely. So how you doing? Everybody's alive? Kicking? You don't get away from that. You keep on being alive even when they bury you.
Praise the Lord.
We're all going to be buried alive. Does that sound awful? Because we'll be living on the other side when they put our bones in the ground. Hallelujah. Had a bit of a week this week. We have five kids now at our home, and we're teaching them to share. And they shared whooping cough with me. I could not breathe in the middle of the night on Sunday night last, 3 a.m. It stands out in her mind. So an ambulance came, and they had on their hazmat suits. They arrived outside our door and didn't come in for half an hour because they were trying to remember the protocol and what to do with their hazmat suits. Does the glove go over or under my sleeve? All that stuff. And I'm having trouble breathing inside, thinking lovely thoughts about these people that are taking their time. So I had my very first ambulance ride. I don't recommend it. It's better in your own car. Way more fun. And they hide all the good stuff now, too, so that you can't... I guess some of the people they take would take the good stuff. And so, but we have good system here, of doctors and nurses and people that help, and I'm grateful for them. They released me soon after, but for 6 years I've been on medication for atrial fibrillation and congestive heart failure and high blood pressure. I think the high blood pressure was caused by the meds, but be that as it may. Anyway, I'd have to take 6 pills every morning. I announced a month ago or so that the doctor said my heart's normal. So I no longer, my heart beats a little fast, but they're not concerned about that. But no more congestive heart failure. My heart was healed. Now he said it healed itself, and I said, does that happen normally? No, that doesn't happen normally. Does that happen before in your practice? No, it hasn't happened before in my practice. He said, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing in this situation that's working, but it's working. And I said, might there be a third option, God? And he said, well, we can talk about that someday. So anyway, I'm at the hospital, and the emergency doctor there says, well, you can't be on the medications you're on and take what you need to get over this pertussis, the whooping cough. And so they took me off all my meds. He said, you'll be okay. and so I'm no longer on medication. One of them I'm sort of weaning off. He said, if you come off this all of a sudden, it'll give you the thing that you were trying to avoid. So the bisoprolol, I take a half of one now, and within a month it'll be gone. So, but I think that's wonderful. God is doing just delightful stuff, to see the joy in what he's doing. Years ago, a guy that was a mentor to me, I asked him, how do you know what to preach on a given day? And he said, you never go wrong if you preach about what God's doing in your heart at a particular time. Because as the as the shepherd, he's working things in you that he's working out in other people as well. And so as I'm seeking him this week, he says, talk about pain. Talk about suffering. So I'm going through a little of that these days. I've never had as painful a year as this year. And yet, I've never had joy in the midst of suffering like I've had this year. We have five delightful kids making squealing noises and acting like the devouring locusts of the Bible. They eat everything in my house. And it's just a wonder to be around them. It's just, it's not always fun, but it is joyful. The whole time is joyful. And so, you know, our word for the year is joy, and I'm trying to look for joy in everything that we're doing, and there is joy in everything. I was taken to the scripture this week, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. The joy of the kingdom, the joy of being with us for eternity, gave him the strength to go through what he endured on the cross. Amazing. Amazing. Joy in that, you know? So let me read something to you. I want to read a couple of passages. This one is 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3. And I'm reading from the New King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Thank you, Lord. And God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, isn't that delightful? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. What a beautiful passage. Hope in the midst of all of it. I want to go back through that. Some of that. But my understanding, the way I was brought up and in the theologies that I embraced over the years, it was to understand that the sufferings of Christ was never sickness, because Christ was never sick. And so how could he have suffered in sickness? Now that made a lot of sense to me. His sufferings were afflictions from people. And there's lots of people on the earth. And so there's sufferings that come to us, and we complete the sufferings of Christ in our daily lives. For we are the body of Christ, and we can hurt one another. I may hurt you. I tell you, it will be inadvertent. I don't hurt people on purpose anymore. There was a day that I did, but but that is not now. I didn't go in this to hurt people. But if I hurt you, hear me now, I'm sorry. I wouldn't ever want to do that. I wouldn't want to hurt anyone. I'm not built that way anymore. But other people will also hurt you. Most of the time, I think it's as Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. They do things that are offensive or like they wouldn't normally do because they're driven to it out of their own pain or their own concerns or whatever it is. But I think that we still do not know what we do when we speak. When we speak words, it says we speak words of life and words of death. Right? We're going to be judged for every idle word. But we speak either words of life or words of death. But we don't recognize that because we also believe the adage that, and this is not biblical, but words are cheap. Words are not cheap. Words have a consequence, and they will hurt people. I can feel sometimes when people are saying negative things about me now. I have a new sensitivity. You know, it's like when you've bruised your arm like this. Our medical system. Can you give me that? it's sensitive, right? And so anytime there's any pressure on it, it has a sensitivity that I normally wouldn't have had. And in that sensitivity, that because of what we're going through right now, it's I don't know whether I really feel it or I'm imagining it. I really don't know. But it seems to me like I can feel the power of words that are being spoken, and they're hurtful, but I believe fully that they know not what they do. They don't know the power of their words, and we don't know the power of our words. Really, we cheapen what we speak, I think, which is a shame, you know. Because we are supernatural beings, and our God, who we are created in the image of, created everything with His words, right? I remember reading eminent theologians saying the very first thing created was light, right? Because God spoke, let there be light. But if He spoke, let there be light, the first thing He created was sound, because the sound had to come before the light was created. And so I disagreed with them. I think it's all held together, like the Word says, on His Word. Yeah. On His Word, which is sound. Sound waves hold everything together. But that's another day and another dollar, so we'll go there. We have comfort in our sufferings. There are sufferings that we go through. I think that living in a family, you have sufferings, right? Just your parents, your kids, your in-laws, your outlaws, whoever it is that could cause you problems. You know, there's sufferings that we go through that the people don't know what they're doing, cause us grief. But in that, there is comfort. Where is there comfort? There's comfort, it says, in Christ, who's the God of all comfort. But there's also comfort in each other, because we have gone through that. Those of us that have gone through that are to provide that comfort one to another. Comfort. Not agreement with the suffering, but comfort. Yes. Not to belabor the suffering, not to come into any kind of agreement with it in any shape or form, but to comfort one another. And the Holy Spirit comforts us by drawing alongside of us and joining us. And it's a wonderful thing. Let me read from Romans here. Another Romans 8. You can go there with me if you want. Romans 8 and 12. Oops. I got ahead of myself. Romans 8 and 12. Come in. Therefore, brethren, Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for you live according to the flesh For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we suffer with him. Suffering, I do not believe, is sickness. I think that's of the devil, like evil. You know, God. I don't believe that God created it, but it should go back to who brought it. But yet we do have sickness to contend with, as we have evil to contend with, as much as we might not like that. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's the fully mature sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Whole bunch of stuff in there. And I want to talk about just a couple of things. Not that it matters. This is kind of an aside. But I think he talks about two different things here. We look like we're adopted into the family of God. And that's a common theology. But then why again are we born again into the Spirit? For if we're born in the Spirit, we're born into his Spirit. We are sons and daughters at that point, it says in the Word, right? Why then do we need adoption and wait for adoption? There is a teaching that there was a ceremony that sons, fully mature sons, usually around the age of 30 or 33, but around the age of 30, would be adopted in a ceremony with the entire village or the community, and adopted into the father's business, so that whatever the son said, it was like the father had said it. And whatever the son committed to, it had full backing of the dad. And this was called an adoption ceremony. And if you'll notice as we talk through this, that creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. The word for sons there is fully mature sons. There's four words that are used. I've preached about it, but I won't go into it right now. Four words that are used for sons or children in the Word. And this one is a huios, a fully mature son. Creation is waiting for the ones that are where their heart is so entwined with the Father's, so one with the Father's. They share the mind of Christ, and everything that they do is as if the Father had done it. Creation is waiting for the revelation of those sons, the adoption ceremony. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Everything he says, I've said. Everything that he does, I do. And when creation sees that, these ones that have made it to this full maturity, we speak with God's authority. Everything that we speak out will be done because it goes with the full backing of the Father. And that's the adoption ceremony that I'm looking for. And that's the adoption that I hear here. Because I don't think the two balance each other. There's kind of a negation of one another in common theology, because the same guys that preach, you know, we're waiting for the, you know, we are adopted into the body of Christ, we are adopted into his family, but then they will preach also that you need to be born again into his family. If you're born, you're in my family. If you were naturally born into my family, I'd give you my name and all that stuff. But so there's something askew there. I'm not saying that I know, but this is the best information I've got to date. Okay, that there is an adoption for fully mature sons, and by sons I mean sons and daughters. Right. So that's something for us to look forward to. Anyway, that was for free. Had nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but it had everything to do with the scriptures that we were reading. So the problem of suffering is a theological and personal dilemma that's concerned the human community since we've existed. How do we understand suffering and pain? What is pain? Who likes pain? We all understand pain when it happens, right? We don't have to define it. That hurts. Ow. And I don't know people that like it. They say there are people that do, but I think they can be healed of that too. What's the opposite of pain? Some people say pleasure. But I think that you can experience pain and pleasure at the same time. I don't mean in a sadomasochistic sort of a way. In just a minute, I'll explain it. But I think the opposite of pain is comfort. And as we've read in the scriptures we had today, the God of all comfort comes when we're going through emotional pain caused by our brothers and sisters. The God of all comfort will move through other brothers and sisters at that time. Pleasure and pain is like when you were a kid, if someone were to ask your mom and dad, what is your greatest pleasure in life? They would say, oh, it's little Johnny. Little Johnny's my favorite, or little Cheryl. She's my favorite. But if they were to ask your parents, what's your greatest pain? Oh, little Johnny. No question. Not little Cheryl. She was never a pain. But it can be a pain and a pleasure at the same time, right? You get what I'm talking about? But we want to talk about pain this morning, or I wanted to talk about pain. Pain kind of it runs into three categories as I pursued this. There's good pain. How can pain be good, right? I am one that runs from pain. I do not like pain of any kind. I'll face it if I have to, but once had a a crab locked onto my finger, and he was ratcheting down his big pincer claw. You know, it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and I thought, I'm going to lose the end of my finger because I couldn't shake him off. I didn't want to smash his head because I wanted to eat him later, but I thought, I'm going to enjoy him. But he stopped finally as I was praying. But, I will endure the pain. It was when you have to. That wasn't good pain. But there is good pain. Paul Brand is a man who worked with people with Hansen's disease. It's a biblical disease, right? It's called leprosy. And he wrote about his findings. Our understanding up until he looked at this stuff was that with leprosy, your fingers fall off and your toes fall off, and stuff just happens that way. It's a kind of a degenerative, flesh-eating almost disease, but nobody had ever looked into it. It turned out that it actually is neurological, and it cuts off feeling in your extremities first, and then it kind of works its way up. And so in your feet, it would cut off all sensitivity to pain. You couldn't feel pain anymore. So they'd have an accident or something would happen, and they wouldn't get it tended to, and it would rot off because of the damage to it. And so a finger would fall off or whatever it was. But it was because there was a lack of pain in those areas, and so that necessitated or it didn't necessitate them having to have it fixed or tended to in some way so that they could keep that appendage. And so pain in this situation is a gift from God so that we know to stop what we're doing. Put your hand in the fire, ow, 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 you pull it out, right? Pain causes you to withdraw. Pain says, no more of that, please. It's a gift so that we don't do ourselves in on a daily basis. And so pain can be a good thing. And Paul Brand wrote a book, The Gift That Nobody Wants. he later entitled it, because it didn't sell very well that way, The Gift of Pain. Wrote it with Philip Yancey, but a really good book. I enjoyed it. Good pain is used by, in a second category, in a hopeful way. Pain can be hopeful. There is something set before us that is wonderful. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Well, you've heard the term, I think it was coined by Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he gets credit for it anyway. No pain, no gain. So that when you're weightlifting or doing something that taxes your muscles, that takes them to a limit, and then there's pain coming out of that, that's seen as hopeful pain because you're actually damaging the muscle on purpose to build more muscle, right? And so the pain that you're feeling, you can endure because there is hope behind it. And so that pain is viewed as good pain, right? There's good pain that keeps us from harming ourselves and good pain for no pain, no gain. Even if you damage yourself while you're lifting, you know you went too far. And so even that, even when you have an injury coming out of it, not just muscular tearing, but you've strained a muscle or something, then even that is looked at as hopeful because you got to back it off just a little bit. Take it a little bit easier because your body's not happy with this whole thing. So there's a hopeful aspect to pain that we look at as well. And then Then there's a pain that is good for others. I know a number of people who have had car accidents or have been involved in some terrible physical. I knew a fireman who fell four floors, and had chronic pain coming out of it. People in car accidents have chronic pain. They live their lives on that scale where the doctor says from a 1 to 10, where is your pain? Well, they live their lives in a constant minimum 4, and you know, it spikes to 6 or 7 regularly. And that's the way they live their lives, you know. And in those situations, you deal with pain management. You can't deal with relief of pain at that point. Even medications aren't able to take you there. So you manage your pain through medications and exercise and you know, mind transfer kind of things where you're thinking of something else. But it becomes a manageable situation where the pain is just too much for you to go through, and so you kind of are focused on making it work in your life. And sometimes pain just gets to that place where you have to do that. But what most of them have created out of that is a sensitivity to others. When they're going through pain, they'll jump to someone's help. They will pray with more fervency. They will offer a chair to somebody who's wincing as they walk or something like that. There's a sensitivity that comes out of that, just a natural, empathetic sensitivity to people going through pain that comes out of people going through a chronic pain situation. Not fun, but it helps us to get in touch with our humanity and the humanity of others around us. But God promises us that He will be the God, He is the God of all comfort. Now, Paul, when we read in Romans, he's addressing fellow Christians, and he describes himself and them as joint heirs with Christ, and adds, if in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. And then, almost as an aside, he comments, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. You notice that he doesn't actually say what particular suffering he has in mind. But later on, he talks about who will separate us from the love of Christ. Will hardships or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness, I draw the line there, or peril or sword. Some of these words clearly refer to agony wrought by other people because of their Christian witness, and persecutions and sword. But in those cases, they might be thought of as suffering for Christ. But other ones, such as hardship, distress, famine, what else did it say, peril, can apply more broadly to problems of humankind in general and can certainly include physical, intractable pain. We may have more difficulty seeing these as suffering with Christ. But Paul uses the word comparing. What does he mean? What is he comparing suffering to? He compares it to something in the future. Whatever we're going through, we must remember that this life is short. It's hard to remember when we're in pain. It's hard to. Every one of us experiences pain. Every one of us. But it's hard to remember that this life is short. Have a broken arm, and the first night with a broken arm seems like forever. seems like it'll never end. This is going on and on, but it's just one night. And our lives are just short. It compares our lives to grass. Here today and tomorrow it's gone, burnt. Remember that there is a future. And remember that how we react in the pain and how we treat others in the pain has an eternal effect. For everything that we do now is a kingdom movement. Everything that we react to, everything that we comfort in is a kingdom reaction or comfort. The kingdom is what it's about. And so for the hope that is before us, we can endure anything. We can endure pain even because of what God has promised us. And his promises are yea and amen, never, ever, ever ceasing. His promises do come true. The suffering thing, that the theology that I had taken on, I found myself at odds with that, with different people that I've come across as I pray for people in physical pain. We had a fella who his name was Otto, and his feet were in pain all the time, and excruciating pain. And this is a guy who taught the Bible, well versed, caring man, and so his days were terrible. And so I, in my arrogance, I said, "Well, read your Bible, pray." That's my answer to everything, right? And he said, "I can't. I just can't focus on anything but what's at hand or at foot," in his situation. He wasn't able to, like, this is a man who loved the Word, proved it through his life, but he couldn't focus on it. Couldn't focus on the thing that I thought would bring him relief. The thing that he had actually preached would bring him relief. He's unable to do it. Lots of people that I have talked to along the way have said, "Is that good or bad, Lord?" have said, "Oh, it's Rob, is it?" No. they are in the hospital bed or in their sick bed somehow, and they're suffering in sickness. And you go to minister to them, and they say, you say, "How are you doing?" And they say, "Christ suffered for me. It's the least I can do to suffer for him." Now theologically, I have a problem with that. You can't tie that to the Bible. That's a common understanding and picked up by many people, but you can't say that it is good theology, in my mind. You know, but if in their pain it gives them a place of connection to Christ and that brings them comfort, how can I argue with them? It's not the time to for me to say, "Well, let's look at that, you know, like what you're thinking is wrong, you know." I have to say now, like I used to be much more zealous, let's say, and want to correct them. But now, like with my friend Otto, who just wasn't able to focus, if this gave them the opportunity to focus on connecting with Jesus through suffering, I'm not going to correct their theology. I'm going to bless them in their time with Jesus, because Jesus is bringing them comfort through something that I don't think is biblical. But yet they are connecting with Jesus. Do I condone it? No. Do I say it's right? No. But they are in pain and they are suffering. And so I make a place for that. And once they're better, once we look at, you know, like let's have faith that this thing will leave you and that the enemy will be gone from you and you'll be able to move on from this. And they can usually agree with that. But their connection with Christ, I don't want to be an impediment. Probably few of us are able to say that all pain is good. But we can say that the Savior is good all the time. And with his help, nothing can separate us from the presence of God. No matter what we're going through, that's where we turn. The presence of God. We forget sometimes when we're in pain and we look for solace. We look for agreement with others. We look for any way out. We look for a medicating of the pain. We can look to alcohol or whatever your favorite distraction might be. But it's not going to deal with the issue. Jesus is alone able to deal with the issue. It's Jesus' authority that will chase sickness. What Jesus took on the cross, healing is a part of the atonement, I believe, fully. And so healing is a part of it. But does healing come exactly the way we understand? My understanding is no. It took me 6 years to have my heart heal. Is that still a miracle? To me, it is. Maybe it's not to you, but I'm pretty happy. Every time I looked at congestive heart failure, I'd check it out. They said 6 to 10 years you'd live, max. So I didn't like that. So healing is pretty miraculous to me in that situation. But healing is a part is the bread of the children of God. Healing is for us today. I fully believe that. But I also believe that suffering is here and pain is here. That's a reality. And having a way to deal with that is important. The comfort of the Holy Spirit, no matter what we're going through, he's promised he will be there to comfort us. And he may use other people to help us in our comfort. For what we've gone through, people that will take us to Jesus rather than take us to fear or medication or something like that. It's Jesus is the answer. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. In our pain, in our suffering, he is the answer. And if we look to anything else, we will be disappointed. Jennifer, would you take us through another song? Would that be, is that, have you got another one in there? You can replay one if you want. Let's worship the Lord and I'll pray for you after. Pain seems to be a constant companion with me these days. And to understand it, to understand a problem, to identify a problem is 50% of the dealing with that problem. You know, and so if we understand pain and understand suffering and what to do with that, it's much easier for us, I think. Okay? So let's worship the Lord. He is worthy of our praises. Yes, Jesus, you're good all the time. So easy to say that, but to believe it is another thing. Thank you that you're helping us to drive that understanding deeper within us. Jesus, let us connect with that, your goodness, all the time. Jesus, thank you that you are our comfort, that you've given us a come-alongside comforter in the Holy Spirit to be with us all the time. and that we can turn to you and trust you and love you and have solace in you, that you are the answer. Just like in Bible college, the answer is Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would bless each one that's here today with an understanding that pain happens in life, suffering happens in life, but it's what we do with it that has eternal consequences or eternal benefits. Let us learn at this point to make them eternal benefits as we turn to you in it and not to find our own comfort somehow. Jesus, you are our comfort. I pray your blessing upon each one, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' wonderful name. If you need prayer for healing, there are people that will be praying for you at the front here. Just come on up and get some prayer. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come on up and meet him. It will be the best decision you ever made. Bless you. Go in peace. Remember, Thursday, 7. Friday, 7. Saturday, 7. You're gonna love Tom James. People that I know and trust love him. So come on out.